call to order. Thank you everybody coming for the June 3rd County Commissioners meeting. Commissioner Lee, for opening up the application.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We say a special thank you for the rain that we've received, and Lord, we just pray for more rain for our farmers. Lord, as we go throughout this meeting tonight, I just pray that we will have wisdom. You give us wisdom, and that whatever decisions are made, they're the decisions that are best for the entire county. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll say it with me, we'll say the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Public comments, 3-minute public comment section. Do we have any public comments? Okay. No public comments. Presentation of the proposed Bertie County Public School budget 2019-20 by Superintendent Ms. Evans.
Good evening, Chair Trent, Vice Chair Atkins, County Commissioners. It is indeed a pleasure to be here before you this evening, and I apologize, and our junior commissioners. It is indeed a pleasure to be here with you this evening to share with you the proposed budget for Bertie County Schools. And I have with me our Finance Director, Mr. Stephen Harrell. And we also have with us some of our board members. We have our Vice Chair, Vice Chair Cherry, Chair Christine Dudley, as well as, Board Member Christine Dudley and Board Member Mr. Osina.
Thank you, Chair.
And the chair of the Bertie County Board, Ms. Tarsha Dudley. So we're happy to have our board here supporting us as we share with you the proposed budget for the upcoming school year. And as I said, we're happy to have with us this evening our junior board members for Bertie County, and our commissioners, as well as our junior commissioners who are here with us tonight. And so we have for you and it's a 5-minute video, but I promise you we won't be before you long. But in this video, we're going to share with you an overview of the work that's being done at our pre-K, elementary, middle, and high school, as well as some of the projects that you funded for us last year and some of the things that we're looking forward to for the upcoming year. And I do have to say that the voices that you will hear singing on the video are the children from Colerain Elementary.
Thank you.
Wanted to put that in a video because, as you can see, by the collaboration and support of the monies that you've given to the school district, it would be hard to put all of that into 5 minutes of words. But wanted you to see the impact that you all are having on the lives and the education of the kids in Bertie County Schools. And there's so many of you that give personally, as you saw with the comfort zone that was up there, that will start at West Bertie. Thanks to donation of Commissioner Trent, Chair Trent, that we're able to have that with the peer conflict mediation resolution for our kids at the elementary schools. So how do we start working with our students early so that they can learn that social behavior so that they have positive behavior when they're in middle school and in high school? So we're gonna share with you some of the things, and we're not going to be before you long, but some of the things that are having an impact on some of the requests that we have. I'm sure you probably heard by now that Bertie was one of four districts that received a state grant for advanced teaching roles, and we call that Bertie Thrives. And that work will help us with recruitment and retention of teachers. It will allow teachers to be promoted in the teaching profession without leaving the classroom and extend the reach of our most effective teachers. So not only will they have students that they're responsible for, but being able to reach out and support other teachers as well. And also, we have increase in enhancement teachers. We know that the arts is an important part for our students, and that's something that this year, as you saw in the earlier videos and the highlights, that we were able to provide some of that through Club Day this year. So we would also like to look at how do we provide additional support for our enhancing teachers in support of the arts.
And this year, we're also asking for increases in retirement, the hospitalization. Retirement now is 18.86, and we're factoring in a 20% rate. Hospitalization is $6,104 a year. We're factoring in, the state is recommended at $6,600 on those increases. We're also asking for support for school safety and security. We're upgrading the system at the middle school. We're doing lights at the middle school also, have efficient lights for security and for also for just efficiency and for expense.
And I think you probably saw when you were looking in the video that we are currently working on the upgrades at the high school. So next year we're looking to upgrade the system at the middle school.
And we're also looking for more transparency and accountability for the charter schools. This year the expense for the charter schools has come down. And I'm having to be very vigilant making sure that we cross-check all the students who come in, because a few of them have try to get in from other counties. So we run them through the system. That expense is coming down. So that savings has also been transferred to a curriculum part of the budget also, that you'll see.
And And so before we get to our ask for the upcoming year, I would like to share with you a little bit about the impact that the work that we do from the funding that we receive from our county commissioners, the impact that it has on our students' academic performance. And so I always like to show this slide because it talks about growth and growth matters. So we may not be where we want to be for proficiency, but when you have students that are coming in behind, it is very important that we look at exceeding growth. So when you have a student who enters on grade level, they're already on grade level, and they get 1 year of learning for 1 year of instruction, then we know they're going to meet the mark. Now we have a student that comes in behind or below grade level, and that child gains less than a year of instruction for a year of learning, less than a year of learning for a year of instruction, then they will never catch up. So you have a child, that was the one, don't click yet, Amanda, but the one that we just had there, that's the child that's coming in behind grade level. And they may meet growth, but if they do not exceed growth, they will never catch up. So now when you have a student that's coming in behind grade level or below grade level, and they get more of a year of learning for a year of instruction, you can go ahead and click that one, then that child has a chance to catch up. So that's why growth is so important. And so when we look at the growth of our schools, and we see that we have two schools that exceeded growth, four that met growth, and one that did not meet growth. And these are school report card grades from the 2017-18 school year. Of course, we don't have the data for the current school year. That will come in later. We're actually going through our EOC, EOG testing this week. And as you can see, our early college did have a grade of A. And we had one school that was close to a B, but just barely missed being a school B, and that was Windsor Elementary. And so if you look at the district overall, you can see that there is an increase. So we're on the incline, but I think it's good to look at each individual school as well so we can see where we are.
In the less than 2 years' time, we have erased a $1.4 million debt with a lot of work from the staff, a lot of hard work. We have a positive fund balance, and we are looking to add to that fund balance this year also. Our number of findings has gone down from 9 to 4, and my goal is to have 0 findings at our next audit.
So, we asked for the upcoming year. So, one of the things that we're looking at is to replace the bleachers at the Bertie High School baseball field. This is what they look like right now. And we're also, one of the things that we're looking at for the upcoming year is enclosing the playground at Windsor Elementary. Right now that space is wide open. And Ms. Gregory, when she was the principal there, she always talked about runners, having kids that would run off the campus. And because there's nothing enclosing the campus, that fence in the back, the kids can get out, or we can have people who we don't want in around our kids.
And at Windsor Elementary, we propose to lower the ceiling to help with the cooling and improve lighting with the new efficiency bulbs also going forward. And we also plan to paint the annex building. It is an eyesore. And we want, you know, the buildings for the school system to project a good quality image. This building is used for storage and other dry goods at this time. We're also asking for rock for the parking lots. This will help the staff, pedestrians, anyone who is out to prevent injuries, trips, or falls. We have some of these parking lots that have some pretty bad holes on. And we're pressing to get that done in the upcoming year. We're also, spoke a little bit earlier about the high efficiency lights. Mr. Bond has found that these new high efficiency lights, if they are replaced, they burn at least half the electricity of what's up there, and they last longer. So our goal is to replace all of these going forward, which will be a cost savings in the end. How are we gonna get the lights up there? We propose to get a lift. We're going to get a lift so we won't have to rent the lift anymore. At this time, we have to wait a certain amount of time because the rent for the lift is so expensive, we have to wait for a certain amount of them to be out before we even rent the lift. We're also proposing to have a larger wrecker that can sustain the weight of the heavier school buses. The wrecker we have now doesn't meet the code to handle the weight of the new school buses.
So those were some of the capital outlay needs that we have in there, but some of the instructional side of things that we're looking at for the upcoming year, the kindergarten camp. So we currently have a kindergarten camp for 2 weeks, and we're looking to expand. So the first year was 1 week. This year will be 2 weeks. Next year we're looking to have it for 3. We eventually want to get to a full month of kinder camp for students who have not been in regulated care to get them ready for kindergarten. And we did receive the KinderSwim grant that we applied for, which will help our students that are in kindergarten learn to swim. We did not get funded to the level that we wanted to, but we did receive some of that grant money. And always looking at STEM and STEAM, we received money from the Golden Leaf Foundation this year, so we were able to have each school create a STEM room, and you've probably seen some of those on the Facebook page for the district, and so we want to make sure we continue those opportunities for students, and being able to sustain our advanced teaching roles grants, which is Bertie Thrives, as well as our literacy programs, and the work that we've been doing around environmental education and project-based learning. And something else that I'm really excited about is the farm to table. So the partnership that our early college has with the Good Shepherd Food Pantry, being able to provide fresh fruits and vegetables for the community and selling those at their farmers market. And other new partnerships that we have that are coming along the way. And so, of course, the board would continue to look at their strategic plan, and it would be designed and based on the needs of the students in the district, and with the budget and the mission of the Bertie County Schools and our collaboration with our county commissioners, we know that we can provide quality education and opportunities for all of our students. And at this time, we'll take questions. Would you give them a paper? Okay, so at this time, and you have several handouts in front of you, you want to explain what each one is.
The capital outlay is the one that has the security and highlighted in yellow. That is the security portion of this. Every one of the needs for the upcoming school year are listed or asked for. The increase is at 11% from what we received last year. We were on course this year to just about expend every bit of the money that was allotted last year to capital outlay, and we made good use of every bit of that. The other two are one of the same. One of them is a purpose code budget that is, for all the purposes, this is the one like that. This is what we're audited off of. Those are the breakdowns for the departments. The other one with the highlighted in blue is a more personal to department budget. But they all one and the same.
And so we're hoping that through the video you were able to see some of that work that we have in these pie charts and these numbers actually in action with our students and our staff. And so at this time we'll take questions, and we said we do have our board members here with us.
Anybody have any questions?
I do have one question. You know, first of all, the work you did in terms of finance to really be able to get into the black was extraordinary. We really appreciate that. But I did hear you say that as a result of that, there will be a positive impact on your fund balance. Have you estimated what that will be?
Right now, conversations with my auditor, who's been a great help. I hate to say numbers and fund balance, I'll get myself in trouble, but estimating, I want the ballpark between 2 and 3. And that's, conservative estimate. Right now, we're in the month of June, we're in the process of trying to get every bit of our state money spent to the last penny, if possible. So right now, and I started today, we're working fast and furious, but right now, The ballpark estimate is 2 or 3.
I know, like in county government, we're asked to try to maintain a target amount. Does the state do the same thing in terms of schools, in terms of what is your target amount and fund balance?
The target amount is sustainable, I believe, two payrolls, which is between, which Bertie County, I believe, is between 5 and 6 hundred thousand. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would love to sit, be sitting on 2 million. And, you know, it's one of those things where you don't need it, it's great, but if you need it, it's good to have it there. And there are unexpected expenses that do come along from time to time, but right now we're sitting on 700,000. And I would love to cross the 1 million mark this year if possible.
So right now we're like a little over 700,000. I know you heard the word 2 million. I want to make sure you're clear. We don't have
no, that is true.
A little over 700,000 right now.
That was very hypothetical.
Yes, that's ideal state.
Right. And are there any negative consequences from the state in terms of additional funding or any other support as a result of having a lower than, quote, targeted fund balance? Does that not play for you?
Right now, I do not know of any penalties that they would propose to having a lower fund balance. They recommend you have a certain amount just as a standard.
Okay.
And then talking with our auditors, they said 2 to 3 months of payroll for the district, well, 2 to 3 months of operating costs, plus some additional funding in case you had some emergencies.
Oh, sure.
So that's how we got to the over 1 million. Hopefully it would be to get to 2 million.
Not this year.
Yeah, not this year.
Any other questions?
May I ask a question before my Bertie County Members League? You know that we have our Forum to Table initiative. So I'm wondering, will the Bertie Early College group or organization that does that, will they receive any funds to help them do that, to help them complete their goal?
Yeah, so with the Early College, there's a budget that comes through Title I. As well as you have career technical education funds that support the agriculture program. So those funds should be targeted toward helping you. Those are federal funds, the CTE funds are federal funds. And so are the Title I. So yes, you will have monies targeted to that. That is an initiative that we would love to see our students continue giving back to the community. It's like you all are serving on the board here, helping our students understand how do you give back to your community. So yes. Absolutely.
It's one other thing, then my last question, but I'm really delighted that you are targeting the increase to your kindergarten camp. Citizens need to understand that Bertie County in our region, it has one of the highest numbers of kids who have no real preschool kind of education prior to coming to kindergarten. And so our kids start behind. But this kindergarten camp has been extraordinary in helping kids get the basics before coming to school. How, you know, what school is all about. You know, who are you? Where do you live? Who are your parents? And you know, the basic things that you wouldn't believe that a lot of kids don't have because they haven't been in any formalized kind of education. Such a large percentage. That percentage used to be about 60%. It's being reduced now, but this is a program we've got to continue to That's a winner.
And I do have to say, Sergeant Powell is not here tonight, but she has done incredible work with our students in the middle school with the Phoenix Spot. But now she's moving that down to the comfort zone, and that's with the funding from Commissioner Trent and his wife are funding that program for us and looking at peer conflict mediation resolution for our students in elementary. That is huge for us. That is huge. So a lot of things on the preventative side versus waiting to be reactive.
Any other questions? Dr. Evans, thank you very much. Ms. Sylvia Walton. afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would like to thank each one of you for inviting me to come tonight. I am Sylvie Walton. I'm a counselor at Olander Elementary School and Corey Elementary School. But I'm also a counselor who has served in Bertie County Schools in the capacity of a social worker at the middle school and a counselor at Bertie High School. So I've had the opportunity to see the children at different levels, from elementary to high school. I'm also a new author of one book, and the second book is actually being published as we speak. The book that I have written is on bullying. It also covers self-image, grief, and family dynamics. It's a book that I feel like, and I know, can impact our children. We know that the issue of bullying is impacting our community, it's impacting other communities, and it's impacting the world. We have been fortunate in Bertie County that we have not had an instance of a child committing suicide due to bullying. To my knowledge, we are fortunate in Bertie County that we have not had an incident where a child has become so enraged or retaliated, and we've had a school shooting. Those are things that have happened in other areas that we have seen through social media, we've seen on television, but we have been blessed that it has not happened in Bertie County. As Dr. Edmonds shared, I believe in being proactive instead of reactive, and I've seen in counties, and I'm not particularly talking about Bertie County, but I've seen in counties where the topic of bullying has kind of been a reactive measure. The month that's celebrated for bullying is in October. So typically counselors, schools do something during that month. But then after that month, many times things are not done after that month. We know that bullying takes place each and every day. We may not know the child, we may not know who they are, but we know that it takes place each and every day. So you can't be reactive and do that just once a year. It needs to be somehow infiltrated throughout the school system throughout the day. As a counselor, I have seen it at the high school level where I've had an incident where a child didn't want to go to class. I've seen it at the middle school level where we had a child missing school due to not wanting to come to school. We had to try to figure out what was going on with that particular child, and that child didn't want to come to school and was not coming to school because they were being bullied. And the child eventually told their sister, their sibling, what was actually occurring. And then we had to put things in place to actually help that child. But probably what has touched my heart the most is seeing it at the elementary level. That's the level where you feel like those issues, maybe the children aren't thinking about it, they're not concerned about it, they're too young. That's the opposite. If anything, the children at the elementary school are more forthcoming in sharing what's going on with them. Bullying is a topic that's on their mind. It's so much on their mind, I brought in a presenter last week to talk to them about decision making and goal setting. Because you can never start too young in teaching children about goals and setting goals and making the right decisions. And the session, one of our sessions that we had with the third grade class, completely turned into a session on bullying. I didn't turn the session into a session on bullying, the children did, because that was what was on their mind. One question came up about bullying, and then it led to other children sharing about their experiences. It took them also sharing about what had happened with their siblings. They also shared about what they had seen on television occurring with bullying. And they also expressed their fear about what would happen if it happened to them and how they would react. The presenter that I had is also a presenter that works with children. So we very easily were able to take that session and teach them the importance of knowing about bullying, what bullying actually is, and then what they could do if they saw someone being bullied, and what they needed to do if it actually occurred to them. But as an author, what I have realized in trying to get my book into the school system, the first thing I've realized is that the children do not have the monies or the finances to purchase the book. They desire the book, they want the knowledge, some have asked about the book because they know that I've written. But they do not have the finances. But I've also realized another thing as well. Not only sometimes do many of the children not only have the finances, many of our parents do not have the finances to purchase books for their children. And some may say, well, they have finances to do everything else. But my comment to that is, if you have to choose between feeding your children, paying your bills, and making sure you have heat in your home, I would rather you do that than purchase a book. But do I believe that my book is important and that can make an impact on children? I do. I believe it's a book that can be read individually by children. I would love to see it done as a book study in classrooms, because in the book it covers the child that's being bullied and how they overcame bullying, but it also covers the child who is the one who does the bullying and why they actually chose to do that. Because for many children, you need to understand the why. Why are they reacting the way they're reacting? When you start to understand the why of children, then you know how to help them. So if you have a child that's being bullied or has seen others being bullied, this is a book for them. If you have a child who is exhibiting those type of behaviors, it also has something in there for them. But then at the end of the book, it has study questions that goes along with each chapter. Because what you have to do with the topic of bullying, you can't cover it in one program. You can't cover it in one session where a counselor invites speakers to come in and you speak to the children. It has to be done where you actually open up the conversation and children begin to talk about the issue of bullying. It has to be done where the conversation is made comfortable enough where that fear that they have of talking about it, they're released from that. And I'll tell you how I know that there's a great fear with bullying. I had one little girl who purchased, her parent, grandparent purchased my book at my book signing. The little girl came to me, she said, "When is your next one coming out?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on that." She said, "I've read your book like 3 times. And I said, "Thank you for reading the book at three times, but why are you reading it continuously, you know?" And she said, "I'm reading it continuously." She paused and then she said, "Because I'm experiencing what's going on in the book. I'm going through the same thing. And no one knows what's going on with me." She's being reared by her grandmother. She said, "No one knows that I'm experiencing this. No one knows that I cry myself to sleep. No one knows that I come to school and I'm afraid to go in my classroom." So what I simply told her was, after the tears and after we talked, I said, "The fear stops today. You suffering in silence, it stops today. Because today is the day that I'm going to walk with you. And we're going to tell your grandmother, today is the day that you're going to be free." For that child, that was so uplifting. That gave her freedom where she could just soar. Academically, she's very gifted. Emotionally, she was broken because she had been going through this for some time. Sometimes we don't think about those things. We don't think that those things are really happening in our schools. But by being on the front line in the schools, I know what's going on in the schools. I hear it. And it's not me per se talking with the children about my book, because rarely do I. They just approach me about the topic of bullying because it is actually going on in their lives. And the ones who have read it do want to have conversation about it. So I know you have to reach them at a young age. You got to start when they're in elementary school, and then you move up to the middle and the high. But I feel like if you in this county, we know this is a county that has many needs, but this is also a county that is resilient. This is also a county that we have to learn even more to use the resources that we have and make the most of what we have. And I believe that my book is a resource. I believe it's something that needs to be in the school, and that's what I'm proposing, is that your committee will sponsor children from 4th and 5th, middle school, and 9th grade, because I believe that's the age group that is most appropriate for. I also included the, and you should have that information, I believe, Mr. Story, you told me, on the second sheet of the information that I provided, provides the numbers of the students that are in 4th and 5th grade from each elementary school. We have 4 elementary schools. It provides the numbers of the 4th and 5th, as well as the teachers. The middle school provides the number of the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, as well as their teachers. And then for the high school, early college, as well as Bertie High School, I cover their numbers as well. And I want to close with saying this. I know that one book cannot eradicate bullying in our schools. But what I do know is one book can start the conversation. one book can make children feel more comfortable to talk about the issue of bullying. One book may save a child's life. One book may stop something that may happen because a child has gotten to the point where they're fed up and may retaliate. And one book can take the fear of that, the fear from the word of bullying, and make that child a champion because they now have a voice to speak up for themselves, and not only speak up for themselves, but speak up for another child. Because statistics tell us when another child intervenes on another child's behalf who is being bullied, that that child is finally, that child receives help, and that child is able to move forward. Why? Because they feel like they're no longer alone, that they're not suffering in that situation alone, that they have someone who's partnering with them to help them. So I thank you all for allowing me to come. If you have questions about the book, I also have copies of
While you do that, I would like to ask our junior commissioners, since you're there, what can you offer on bullying? Have you seen, do you know anyone that's experienced? Or?
I have actually experienced bullying, and I have actually seen bullying on more than one occasion. So, to me, this book that lays in front of me sounds like a good step forward. Because the only way to fix the problem is to A, find the problem, and B, talk about it, and C, find the solution to the problem. And I believe that this book is a good solution.
Do you have anything to offer for this week?
Yes, well, I experienced bullying from elementary on up to maybe my ninth grade year. So I've been dealing with bullying for like a long time, but I think this right here, the book, I feel like people should have like maybe like a book club where we can actually read, maybe like once a month we can all sit down and read a book and have a discussion about it, and everybody will give feedback on it. It will help a lot, because when I didn't go to school down here for my elementary years, but we did this, and it really, really helped me a lot. You know, I had friends and they were also going through it, and we became closer, you know. Of course, there was like someone who was, they bullied me, but we became friends because we understood each other better. And I really think this right here would help a lot. This is something to invest in.
Thank you both for your input. Appreciate that.
Ms. Walter, have you spoken to any of the teachers and asked them if they would incorporate this book into their classrooms?
I know that they will. We have one counselor who has actually, she's using the book with the children, but her comment was it would be wonderful if the children had their own copies. I have spoken to some teachers. The ones that I have spoken to would love to, because other books are actually being incorporated into the classrooms, and sometimes, and we're doing also school-wide where they're reading a particular book. So I believe that they would wholeheartedly.
Ms. Walton, if my math is correct, I've looked at the sheet in front of me, and when I look at the number of students and teachers and the grades you talked about, you don't list teachers in the high school, right? You just list the students. So I was a little bit concerned of why not also looking at the number of teachers. But if my math is correct, that's 715 books at your discounted rate of $12.75. So we're talking about $9,116, right? Is that about right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what about the teachers in the high school? I noticed that was...
The reason I didn't have the teachers in the high school because I wasn't certain which ones actually taught the ninth grade, because for the
okay.
high school...
It's just the ninth graders, that's
mm-hmm.
right. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted just the ninth graders for the high school.
So it wouldn't
school.
Be a great difference.
No.
Okay. Great, okay. Somewhere around $9,000.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Dominic Walker.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First, I would like to thank Ms. Walton for her work and her passion for providing a resource such as her material for Virginia County Schools. I lost a younger sibling 2 years older than me, was in the sixth grade, so my heart goes out to you and the work that you're doing. Thank you. Today, what I have before the board is at the request of Dr. Wilhelmina Rampart, Partnership Specialist from the Atlantic Regional Center for the U.S. Census Bureau, I have drafted a resolution for the board's consideration in support of our Complete Count Committee as well as the upcoming 2020 Census. Following our Mideast Commission a couple of weeks ago, this past week, Dr. Rampart shared that many counties across the state have been adopting resolutions or proclamations stating their support of their Complete Count Committees as well as the 2020 Census. And Dr. Rampart has requested those of us who are in attendance if we could draft a resolution for our boards to consider and then provide her with that draft. So I have available for you in your packets a draft resolution supporting the 2020 United States Decennial Census as well and the Bertie County Complete Count Committee.
Mr. Chairman, we've had this in our package, and I'll make the motion to adopt resolution supporting the 2020 U.S. Census, the Nino Census, and the Bertie County Complete Count.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Walker.
I'd also like to recognize Ms. Nigella Williams, our junior commissioner. She has accepted an offer with our Bertie County Manager's Office to be our intern for our, at the direction of our county manager, we have a management summer internship. So Ms. Williams will be working within our office to learn more about our county operations and on the administrative side, and working with us to help plan the Tall Glass of Water project that's coming up at the end of the month, as well as helping to create a county-specific resource guide that will highlight our county assets for the public. So I wanted to recognize Ms. Williams.
Terrific. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Walker. Scott Sauer, County Manager.
Jonathan, I'm going to need some technical help. You could hand me the clicker. No, I think we're okay. Everybody else has had really good success with the PowerPoint. I hope that I'll have the same success. County commissioners and members of the audience, it's my pleasure and it's my duty each year to present as county's budget officer a proposed funding plan. And I want to emphasize the word plan. I've got the responsibilities to bring forth a statement of revenues, a projection of expenditures, in an attempt to hit and address the priorities that have been established by our Board of Commissioners. If you've been watching them for a while, you know they have a very aggressive set of priorities. There is a copy of the budget message on the table there next to Junior Commissioner Williams. If you'd like to get that this evening on your way home, I'd also like to point you to our county website where you can see the entire budget, including a line item detail of every department in the county. Let's see if this goes. Where is this thing? There we go. The general fund is where Bertie County supports the bulk of its programmatic responsibilities. The budget that we are currently working with for fiscal year 18-19 is $24.8 million. The proposed budget plan for next year, which starts on July 1, is $26,195,000. That's almost a $1.4 million increase on a percentage basis. It's 5.6%. we talk about tax rates in North Carolina because it's how we measure the responsibility and the charge and the burden that's placed on our citizens to help fund local government. And every year we try to do two things: make sure that the tax property or equipment or vehicles is listed correctly, but also to make sure that our collections are as efficient as possible. For the next fiscal year, we have projected that one penny on the tax rate will generate $128,144. That reflects a collection rate of 97.29%. That's a collection rate from the audited year 2018. And this is the highest collection rate that we've achieved in Bertie County in over 10 years. The board has put a very significant challenge on our tax administrator, Mr. Jody Gray, and his staff have worked really, really hard to break above that 97% threshold. So that does a lot for us. It helps balance the playing field for our taxpayers, but it also gives the commissioners just a little bit more money to work with. Every year we receive budget requests that come in the form of county department proposals, the Board of Education proposal, and a host of agencies that we work with. We use the term partner in a very serious manner here because it's the way we deliver services and also share resources. This year the board received funding requests from our partners. We had put this together for the board last year. It's a document about 600 pages long of groups who have continued to work with us to serve any number of responsibilities. And if the board had attempted to fund all of those requests in a fully 100% manner, and if they didn't use any of their fund balance, it would have resulted in a 35-cent tax increase, resulting at $1.18 per hundred. The board has a difficult task each year as they try to help balance those requests, those value programs with a very limited amount of funds that are available. So as they begin their process, because tonight's really the beginning, I present a plan, I present some ideas, some estimates, but the board then takes it and really drills down to look at every single one of the departments, every single one of the agencies, to see how they can balance what revenue is available, what tax rates may or may not be palatable for adjustment, and then what prudent and strategic use they can make of their fund balance. In the special appropriations category, the board typically looks at about $6 million. And after you account for funds that become earmarked for schools, both current expense and capital outlay, our two community colleges, our regional jail, they only have about $1.3 million left to work with. And they will be, that's for everything from the River Center to the library to the Humane Society to the Domestic Violence Shelter. There is a long list of agencies that they attempt to support. Please, again, remember, what I'm presenting tonight is a plan. And the plan that I'm putting forth calls for a 92-cent tax rate. Our current tax rate is 83 cents. So that means it's 9 cents higher to achieve the plan that's been laid out as a proposal for the board to consider. And again, this is the start of the discussion. This is a plan for the board to consider. And it also includes utilizing $1.7 million of our fund balance. In the budget we're sitting in now, they've budgeted to use $2.3 million, but they won't end up having to use that because of savings and position vacancies and any number of influences in their budget. But every year they've got to try to balance what they need to ask the taxpayers to pay versus what they can use their own cash reserves for. want to talk a little bit about what's driving budgets. And Mr. Harrell mentioned the retirement system. That, in North Carolina, the retirement system, both for teachers and for local government, is established and regulated through our General Assembly. And as local partners, we are charged with funding contributions. I want to talk a little bit about payroll. The payroll proposal for July 1, fiscal 19, 2020, is $9.2 million. To roll back the clock historically, this is the sixth budget that I've presented to the board. And when I came to work with the Board of Commissioners, we had a payroll of just over $5 million. The budget that I'm presenting tonight calls for 235 Bertie County positions. There are two new positions included. They've already set an agreement with the sheriff to hold five positions vacant or frozen for next year. But back to 2012-2013, we were sitting with 147 positions in county government. That delta, that 88 positions that's grown, is significant. And it's driven in great manner by the investment the board has made in public safety, law enforcement, and courthouse safety. And the biggest driver of that is our investment in emergency pre-hospital care at the highest level, which is the paramedic level. Again, another budget driver for us is the health insurance for our county employees. For the year coming up, we are estimating that the county's cost will be $1.6 million. That's really not too far off where we were in 12-13. In great measure, because the board took a step 3 years ago to convert from purchasing our health insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield and joining the state health plan. That has saved us considerable local dollars. Again, I touched on this just a second ago, but I want to highlight again what I've got there in red. The public safety, the law enforcement, and the courthouse safety. And if you didn't see any of the news reels this past weekend, we all saw an example of how important that safety emphasis is. And even with the safety steps, sometimes you can never be too safe. But these have been priorities for a number of years that the board has striven to make available for our residents, tried to make it on an equitable basis, and we are growing in all three of those areas. On the EMS side of the balance sheet, we have the 911 group, the ambulances that come with lights and sirens that we refer to as our paramedic and EMT staffing. That's 38 positions. And one of our great successes was the partnership between the Board of Commissioners and the Board of Education and Roanoke Community College to start our cadet program so that we can grow our own workforce. We can help create a guide for a career path for young people who have interest in medicine, interest in emergency care, and interest in staying home and being part of their local government. I might add, we also have a similar cadet program for law enforcement. To help support our emergency paramedic and EMT ambulance program, we also have a non-emergency transport system, and there are presently 19 positions budgeted in that area. And one of our biggest challenges is filling those positions. It's not uncommon in EMS or the sheriff's office, and in social services for that matter, to have in excess of 10, 11, 12 vacant positions. The pool of qualified and certified applicants is very, very limited in this part of the state. And the board has taken some aggressive steps here in recent months to try to attract good, qualified people to work in emergency services and also retain them. So there were some adjustments made to our compensation package for EMTs and paramedics that for the new fiscal year, if all the positions were funded, would have a fiscal impact of just over $73,000. They've also taken a very, very serious look at the county's ability, or in some cases inability, to fill our law enforcement positions. They've had any number of discussions with Sheriff Holly on what it will take to attract and retain good, high qualified officers to serve as deputies in Bertie County. The board approved an initiative about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, whereby the new base salary for a deputy sheriff that is certified, that's been through the basic law enforcement training, is now $40,000. And with that initiative, they've also made adjustments up through the corporal and sergeant ranks to deal with salary compression so that you don't have the newest deputies bumping up against or even moving past some of our existing deputies who have been with the county for a number of years. The fiscal impact, if all those positions could be filled for the beginning of the fiscal year, would be $372,000. We know that all the positions won't be filled, and that will be a significant part of the discussion that the board has as they work on the budget later this week. They also tackled the ability to recruit and retrain and retain personnel in our communications office. That's where your telecommunicators are. Those are the folks who answer the call when you dial 911. And in order to make their compensation packages more competitive, the fiscal impact next year is just over $57,000. When we aggregate all that together, the EMS and non-emergency transport, the deputy sheriff and compression, the communication salaries, and Bertie County's required adjustment for the retirement system of $104,953, that's a new $608,000 responsibility that the board has to examine moving forward. And again, that's the cost if every single position were occupied on July 1st. And if you divide that $608,000 by one penny on the tax rate yields, which is $128,000, you'll achieve the 4.75 cents on the tax rate, over half of the proposed 9-cent tax rate. Last year at this time, the board was having many of the same discussions, many of the same challenges, and the board supported additional staffing for the sheriff for courthouse security, two additional positions in the 911 communications center, a records specialist in the sheriff's office, an additional position at the animal shelter. We also picked up three very highly trained workers who came out of Hurricane Matthew and were made available to Bertie County initially as part of a grant program, but are now fully funded by Bertie County. And CADA managed that for us initially, but those folks now work in any number of our departments, but we picked up three individuals there. And last, and certainly not least, the board funded, a little help for me, with a position as assistant county manager, and that individual will start with us 2 weeks from today. And that's Mr. Juan Vaughn, who's currently the assistant manager in Hertford County. Well, I know the footnote's kind of small there, but the board, as they wrestled through the budget last year, took a very close examination of what we call lapsed salaries. Those are salaries that we budget for but aren't being spent because the positions are vacant. And they made some calculated decisions based on that, and we were able to fund those positions itemized there without raising taxes last year. But again, as we move forward, and if those 13 positions were to be filled, we'd be looking at an additional $661,000. Now again, the board has already had discussions with Sheriff Holly. They've come to an agreement that in order to help with the budget this year, there will be five positions held vacant. They are frozen. There's no money budgeted for it. But our net cost is still growing. It's $380,000 almost, or approximately 3 cents on the tax rate. So what's new in this year's budget? There's a proposal before the board tonight to add another building inspector in the county planning and inspections office to help us better administer and enforce the requirements of the state fire prevention code. The state adopted a new fire prevention code in 2018 that became effective January 1st, 2019. This budget plan also supports the request to add one additional position in the Board of Elections office to help meet Sheila Holland. I'll pick on this as you're here. For those of you who don't know it, she's a one-person office, and with the number of election cycles coming up and some of the new regulations, particularly related to voter ID, she needs just a little bit of extra horsepower in that office. But again, these are proposed additions in the budget, and we will know by the end of the month which may or may not be sustained in the new budget. I developed this slide in most part just to show a little bit of the board's historical investment in what we call our human capital. The board has really looked carefully at the burden that employees and their families have with the cost of health care. So there were health savings accounts established that are available for employees. They can set money aside on a tax-free basis. But to kick it off several years ago, the county each fiscal year puts $200 into their account to help pay those prescription copays. Maybe it's the $30 copay when you go see your doctor or some related charge. We are proposing that we continue that. The board also in recent years made a decision to help fund a supplemental retirement program, 401k contribution for our non-law enforcement employees who receive a separate supplemental retirement that's set up by the state statute. So that figure is 3% that we're recommending, and there's no change in that. And then last, and certainly not least, in the fiscal plan for next year, we are proposing an across-the-board adjustment for all non-public safety employees of 3%. And the reason there was that exclusion was to account for those positions in both law enforcement and EMS and communications that received adjustments about 6 weeks ago. Oh boy, I was hoping you'd be able to read that, but you can't. We have attempted to show some scenarios to estimate what the impact might be on a taxpayer if the budget were to be approved as presented. And I can assure you it's a good bet that there's no county manager out there that presents a budget and has it approved without adjustments. Just for the sake of the exercise, we've run through a number of property values. One at the top is a single-family home, has a value of $158,000. Their taxes currently at 83 cents or $1,300 a year. The tax burden under the proposed rate would take it up $143 for the year, or just under $12 a month. We've got a couple of other examples. We've got a home that has a value of $388,000. That taxpayer currently has a tax bill of $3,224. with the proposed rate of 92 cents, their tax bill would go up $350 or just under $30 a month. We've got a couple of farm properties listed, and it's important to recognize that land that is in agricultural use receives the benefit of tax deferment. So as long as that farmer continues to use the property in an agricultural purpose, the taxes can be deferred indefinitely as long as that farming activity continues. So for a farm, this one that we pulled was a small one, 97 acres. Their deferred value is $53,000. Their tax currently is $443. The new tax rate, if it were to be approved, would increase their bill $72, or about $6 a month. The larger farm, which is about $140,000, has a deferred tax value of $80,000, a tax bill of $665. The increase for them is actually, that's the one that was $600. The one before was only, or $6. The one before was only $4 a month. We found one of the most expensive homes we could find down on the waterfront on the Chowan River. Just for the sake of example, it's a single family home, has a value presently of $677,000. Their tax bill is just over $5,600 a year. The new bill under the proposed rate would take it up over $6,200 a year, or $609 annually, or roughly $51 a month. These are some really difficult examples and scenarios for your board to look at, because they will be trying to determine what tax rate adjustment, if any, can be reasonable, can be palatable, can be affordable, may be necessary to fund programs for next fiscal year. Again, this budget proposal is simply a plan. Their next steps begin in about 48 hours. They will have work sessions on Wednesday and Thursday, if needed, of this week. There is a public hearing, which will be a week from tonight at 7 o'clock in this room, where any citizen is welcome and available to speak on the budget or share their concerns with the board. And then there is a time for any adjustment or further deliberation by the governing body. And the board's intent is to try to have their final numbers together by the 18th of June, so that they can come at 11 o'clock in the morning and adopt the budget. Again, I would encourage you, if you have access to a computer, the budget is on our website, the budget message is there on the table, and certainly we know this will be a difficult process for our board and our potential.
Thank you, Ms. Any questions on the board? There are no board appointments. Consent agenda, items 1 through 7, approved minutes for regular meeting May 6, 2018. Approved minutes for closed session May 6, 2019, May 20th, 2019. 3 approved minutes for work session May 6 and May 20th. Tax release journal for April 2019 and resolution to clarify North Carolina HSS communications regarding Medicaid transformation, renewal of the North Carolina DHSS annual memorandum of understanding with the SS 2019-20 interim health care. Board's pleasure.
I move to approve consent agenda items 1 through 7.
Have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Other items. Discuss agenda D. Update on legal review for proposed facility lease for Burt Teague Recreational Complex for 1-6 Compliance Part F grant. I think we already covered that in full.
I think for the benefit of the audience, we should share that is a a project that is under development. The board had a briefing from the attorney this afternoon, but they are working very diligently to establish both a policy and a lease agreement that can meet all of our grant standards. Indebted to the county attorney for helping us with it.
Presentation, bid tabulation, recommendations, design team. We had a 4 o'clock meeting today with our architect and referenced all this. You want to add anything to that?
Just briefly, the board received bids for construction of the new library and the new cooperative extension building on April 16th. There has been a low bidder identified, but we are still not in budget. And the board spent about an hour and a half this afternoon with the architect working through what items may need adjustment in order to bring that project back into budget. And we hope to have that done in the next 2 weeks.
While you're up the back, we're going to talk about Tall Glass Award, Berti Beach Day, June 29th.
York County Commissioners are going to have a public day at the beach down on the Albemarle Sound. I've only got a couple of these posters on. These will be distributed widely and available through churches and schools and civic groups. We want to take a day and let the Board of Commissioners open up the park to show the possibilities and the opportunities for future development. The board is providing food and refreshments, the ability to have a picnic, the ability to swim in the Albemarle Sound, the ability to try out a kayak. When you look at that poster and you see the picture of the kayak, the green kayak, the gentleman in the kayak is right over there. he will hopefully be joining us in giving kayaks and lessons. I don't know if any commissioners have other
talents.
Everybody's clear on the program schedule for the budget work sessions?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Commissioners report. Mr. Wesson?
Only a couple of things. First thing that just jumps out at me, it's so great to see so many folks from the public. Last year, I'll give you an example, when we had our budget presentation, which is how we're going to spend your money, we had three citizens show up. And one of them was a county employee. And now we have almost a full house. I mean, I think that says something about citizens want to know, want to get involved, want to know how we're going to spend their dollars. And so I would encourage all of you, look onto the county site, not just for that synopsis, but the full details of the budget, so you know how we're planning to try to spend your money. It's just a plan at this time. It's going to change. It's probably going to change significantly. We're going to work as hard as we can to limit what kind of increase, if we have to have any at all. But it's an awful hard work, but that's what you put us here to do. A couple of things. I want to thank all of those who showed up on the 21st over in Williamston for my swearing in on the Martin Community College Board of Directors. Thank you, all the citizens who came out and supported me. I really, really appreciate it. It's good to see a lot of Berkeley County folks there for it. I also want to tell you that I joined another organization called the Cross Coalition. It's a coalition with the Methodist Church. It's a specific organization funded by the Duke Endowment that has worked in Plymouth, Washington County, and Shawan County for 5 or 6 years. They have a significant endowment from Duke. They will be funded for sure for the next 8 years and possibly more than that. But their plan is to come into Berti County. And they do work for low-income families, things like put roofs on, wheelchair ramps, windows, insulation, you name it, free of charge for those who qualify. And the qualification is simply, basically, the need and not having the resources, not how much you make. So this is a great win. And we're looking for a place to house them permanently in Berkeley County. The schedule runs all year long. They have anywhere from 12 to 60 people a week here to do work in these three counties. We want to put them to work for the citizens of Berkeley County. So we're looking for a place. And it has to be a place large enough to house them. We've got some leads. We're going to make it happen. It's going to take a little bit of time, but this is something that will be coming and we've been benefiting Berkshire County for a long time to come. Keep your eyes on it. Thank you.
Ms. Lou.
Yes, this past Friday and Saturday, I sit on the board of directors for the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners. I take great pleasure in serving on that board. You learn a lot. Get to visit with other commissioners from all over the state, so it's pretty neat. But I was there in Nashville this time. We travel around the state. And so this time it was in Nashville on Friday and Saturday. Just a brief update on what we discussed. There is a, and if I heard her correctly, there is a app that you can download on your phone called Testit, T-E-S-T-I-T. And anywhere that you go, you can click on that app and it tells you how much coverage. And my IT guy's here, so yeah, how much Wi-Fi or how much megabytes or whatever you have at that location. So it's you can. So if you're having trouble like I've had in the past with your home system, you can click on the test it. It'll bring up how much you're using or how much you're what's available to you, and you can call your home company and say, this is what I've got and I need more. Or if you're out and about and you need to use your some internet, then you'll know how much coverage or how much micro, what is it called?
Kilobytes, megabytes.
Yes, thank you. how much gigabytes and all that good stuff that you have. So that's Testit, T-E-S-T-I-T. And we want to get everybody involved in getting that, and it's through NACO, through our National Association of County Commissioners. So if you see NACO, that's who's sponsoring the app. Also, we as commissioners need to have a voting delegate turned into the association by June the 29th. So I don't know, they should have sent you the information. Okay. They are changing HB, House Bill 67, they are changing the language of the quarter cent sales tax. So you can put on the voting thing what you're going to be using that money for. So that might help us get it passed. We also saw a video of the opioid epidemic. And I sent an email to our county manager. I'd really love to have that shown in one of our meetings. It was a great video. You can find it on YouTube. And I think, let's see. We also, we passed the budget for the association and some bylaw changes, but I do not have a copy of the final because there was much discussion about the changes that were taking place. So if y'all would love to see any of that information, I have that. Thank you.
Mr. Atkins. Ms. Baysmore.
Yes, I would like to state to the citizens, I know according to the budget look like we're not working for you, but we are. So bear with us through this. And I would like to say to the junior commissioners, this was our first run, and I do appreciate it. So hopefully next year, within the budget, we'll develop the cords and certificates for participating that year. And I apologize, I didn't think of it earlier, but we look forward to doing that upcoming. And if you have some more ideas as to how to make it better for you, please let me know. And for Mrs. Walton, we thank you for sharing this book, and I know you need it back. We want the students to have it, and I certainly do hope that we will very much consider putting this book in students' hands, because this is almost every day where you see a child was killed or committed suicide.
Yes.
Because they were being bullied. So I'm very thankful for this book, and I thank you, junior commissioners, for your input, because that's needed. And that's what we're here about, the safety of the citizens as well as our students.
I attended the graduation for Bertie Early College, and it was absolutely wonderful. So my hat's off to the school board. The gentleman that spoke did a great job, and it was a great day, so thank you.
Thank you, Ms. White. One thing I want to talk to everybody about, number one, I've been working with Senator Smith and also Ms. Representative Howard Hunter references Vidant Hospital debacle that is going on at this point in stage. Right now, the proposed budget has been passed by the Senate of $73 million in cuts going towards Vidant Hospital system. $35 million of it is for Medicaid reimbursements over a bickering issue when it comes to filling board seats that sit on the Vidant board. The Pitt County Commissioners are the ones that have agreed to this. Situation is that there's a lot of things that are happening behind the scene. Please follow your Facebook pages and things of that nature. Senator Smith, Representative Howard Hunter has been posting, myself also, and there's a lot of surprising things that have happened. A lot of surprising things that were going on behind the scenes with Vidant. Under the circumstances of these types of losses are accrued by Vidant, this is going to be no more, it's discrimination against rural and it's discrimination against the poor. And that's what it's all about. Vidant serves 29 counties and they are one of the best around. They have services, a teaching hospital with Brody. We have got to stand up and fight this onslaught of what's happening. I say this because I bring it to the public's attention. And if you don't have a voice in this fight, then this is exactly what's going to happen. The next thing I want to talk about is, junior commissioners, I went to the early college where they had a presentation. This was about 3, 4, 5 weeks ago in reference to what they're doing over there. It's remarkable, okay? They are taking proteins, developing different proteins for turkeys and things of this nature, for antibodies. It is so interesting what they're handling over there, and I commend these students because it was so professional. They had like 6 or 8, maybe been 10 different stations where they were explaining exactly what they were doing, and I commend the school board and also the junior commissioners that go to the early college. It was quite impressive. We had Jeff Stalls was there with Purdue. Numerous other people were there from the corporate end. And I want to thank you. And junior commissioners' reports.
First, I want to say thank you for attending our biotech symposium. We have it every year. As long as that program continues, next year we hope to, if all goes well this summer, next year we hope to have some plant biotechnology headlined by yours truly. Also, as far as the beach day goes, I like that idea. I really would like to see it broadcasted, because I really think that that's a great idea, that's a great community event. This bully book as well, we need to really look at that, because that's a great step in the right direction, because that one conversation can save 1,000 lives. I believe there's a saying about that, but I don't remember the saying. The next and the most important piece is the forum initiative or the forum to table. Now, at Bertie Early College, that program is spearheaded in part by the Future Farmers of America, or the FFA, of which I am part of, and as well as the JEL. So, currently, we have a situation of which we don't have the materials. We have received 2 lots, as well as what we have on campus, but we have received 2 lots of land. One is a fourth of an acre. I believe the other one is a half of an acre. Now, the problem that we're having currently is we don't have big enough equipment to basically farm that land correctly. and we really don't want to give it back because it's been gifted to us, and we would really like to see some production out of it. So is there any help or any way or any resources available that we can get that started? Because I would really like to get it started here this month in June, because by the time that school rolls back around in August, we're not forming anything out there but collards and probably cappuccinos for Thanksgiving. So, and that's basically my feeling.
Ms. Williams, you have anything?
Yes. I would like to say that the beach idea, that's a great idea. I can't wait to see how it turns out. I know a lot of people come. Also, the book, that's a great, great idea. Me personally, I've been through it, so I can't wait to get home and read and get started on it. And one more thing, I graduated, so I'm pretty sure this is my last time being here. But however, I will try to attend the meetings when I'm around. And thank you, everyone, for supporting me throughout this process. It's really appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
County manager.
Nothing further.
County attorney.
Nothing further.
3 minute comment section. Have any comments? Yes, sir, please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is William Williams. Just make the fourth year that I've been here complaining about a water meter in the driveway. I'm sure y'all heard it before. And I was told last year, within 30 days, someone would be here just to look at this. No one have came yet. It might not be a problem to anyone else as the problem that these other people have with the schools and all of that, but it is a problem for me. And if there's some type of suggestion that someone could give me in removing this meter off to the side, maybe about 4 or 5 feet, it would help me. But I've been coming here for 4 years now, and I haven't gotten any satisfaction from this meter yet. And I really would like for it to be removed so I can enhance my property. I want to cement the driveway, but it cannot be done with that meter there. It's a big iron piece that sticks up out of the ground. But ever who put it there, it was like they put blacktop around it with rocks in it. And it's maybe about, I would say about 1.5 feet high. It's made like this. When I'm coming off the highway, it's like this. And the car that I have, it won't make it over that. But there is another street on the side, but it's not my property. Although I maintain cutting the grass and stuff, but this is the second time someone have asked me not to use that driveway. So if anyone have any type of suggestion for me, please, maybe someone can give me permission or something to have someone to remove it in some type of way. But I don't have the tools to do it because of this thing have to be kind of chopped up there, you know, street.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. We need to get Sal, do we have his information?
Yes, we've been there, yes. Yes, Mr. Spivey and I have worked on that several times.
Someone came out?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been there.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, as I recall, your meter was installed by the town of Roxabelle, and that was a utility system that the county acquired several years ago. And I agree, it's a challenging situation if you've got a vehicle that's very low to the ground.
How would I rectify that problem?
If
there's any way, I could contact somebody at that town or something.
I don't know that I'm equipped to give options this evening, but Mr. Spivey and I are certainly aware of the situation.
Okay, well, just one more thing. I did speak to him the last time that I was here, and he was saying that they was doing something around that area with the meters. They were replacing them or something. Mm-hmm. But they said they were going to get to it, but like I said, I haven't got anything from it yet. So there is no way I can get permission from the town or here or someplace to have this thing removed.
Mr. Salk was there, and people which looked at this site, your crowd, okay. Now, if you like to pay the expense to do this, there ain't going to be a situation where you have to cut out the concrete and everything to try to move it, because when the town or Roxville put this system in, they put it in the concrete and asphalt. Okay? But we did look at that driveway. And the thing that was done during the renovation of the water system there, the replacement of the meters. Not the box itself, but the meters were replaced. Now, we can get a contractor to come in and cut that out, but we're going to absorb the cost. Do we want to do it? Because it's challenging. It's not a, I mean, the problem we looked at, and the county manager himself was there. The day after we told you we was coming to look at it, we did. So if you want to have the county have a contract, you might cut the whole road up to move it at your expense, I think you can retain that at the end of the day. But I just don't think that is something that is a problem with the system itself. Because your car's road going in, really that doesn't want us the possibility to go and dig and cut the driveway up.
That's if you want to move it at your expense, then we would probably be okay with that, but it would have to be at your expense.
Someone would give me a permission to do that so I won't get in trouble?
Mr. Sarah, can you call Howard Moore email him something in reference to that? Yes, sir. Go right ahead, sir.
If you allow me to do a cost analysis on that and then get it back to you and county manager, also forward to him the cost to move it before we move forward.
That'd be fine.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Okay, you have my email?
I don't, but if you would provide it, right now, but if you provide it.
William Williams. @yahoo.com
Yeah, the second William Williams I know now.
Yeah.
It's an unusual name.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Any more comments? If there are any more comments, I'll entertain a motion to recess until June 5th.
So moved.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.